Let us open our New Testament to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. It's good to be here on this last day of the year. We're saddened that there are others who would like to be here, would normally be here, but not able to today. We hope they'll soon be better and able to be back at the assembly at Beach Hill. The Apostle Paul gives us numerous ways to see the Christian life as it is taught and described, and so do other writers in the New Testament. And so no one could say who is seeking to live as a Christian that I just don't know what to do. I don't have any clear guidelines. Well, read the New Testament. And I'm glad about this program that Winston has announced about the young people and others going to read through the New Testament and study it this year. And so you will encounter much teaching about how to live as a child of God in the New Testament. So here's one way of looking at that. Paul's talking about something we just sang about pressing on toward the goal, toward the prize, onward to the prize before us. And so in chapter 3 of Philippians, Paul said, beginning at verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal and to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you are otherwise minded, this also God shall reveal to you. Only whereunto we have attained, by that same let us walk." That's Philippians 3, verses 12 through 15. So here is a way of looking at the Christian life, that it is a way in which we must make an effort that Paul describes here by the word pressing on. He uses that word twice. You notice that? Press on. So that implies that there is struggle involved in this effort to live the Christian life, and that we must have focus and maintain that focus to live this life successfully. There must be perseverance in it. It's not something that one does once in a while, this pressing on, and it's not something you can do from the armchair. You have to make effort in this every day with determination or resolve. It requires discipline and zeal. It's not something that you just do with a sense of, being casual about it, something that you can do by just moseying your way through life. Paul says, press on. And other qualities could be mentioned here. That what comes to your mind when you think about this word, pressing on? And Paul wants to see the Christian life in that way. So we want to raise a question about that, not because we're questioning Paul, but because it's a question that can lead to some beneficial understanding of what Paul is saying in this passage. And the question is this: how can we as Christians press on when we meet with difficulties? So this is not the rose garden. There are going to be difficulties that we meet in the Christian life. There will be things that discourage us. There will be disappointments. So sometimes these things seem to pile up. And we may want to excuse ourselves when things like that pile up in front of us. And we think that, okay, we've been given a little vacation from pressing on because we've got so many problems. And we know, I guess, instinctively almost, that we wouldn't take that to Paul and say, "Paul, I had so many problems, I thought I just would take off from pressing on today or tomorrow in the Christian life." Well, no, that's not the right thing to do. Just keep on pressing on every day, no matter what are the difficulties, discouragements, and disappointments. And we're going to meet with resistance. And that resistance takes many forms. Sometimes it may come through the seemingly wise counsel of a friend. But we have to think about all things we receive by way of suggestion, counsel, advice. Is that what God would have me to hear? Is that really encouraging me to go God's way? Or is it something that is calculated to please me because it's the way I feel at the moment, by what I've already expressed? Or it is something that seems to have worked for that person, and I like that person. Well, I ought to like God a whole lot more than any person. We've talked about praising God this morning, and that ought to be what our desire is to do every day, to praise God. So we need God's thought on this, and that's what we're reading here in these words through this apostle. We're going to have the temptations that come, it seems, every day. Some of those temptations will be strong. They have to do with many, many things that are part of our makeup, desires, attitudes, and our aims in life, our priorities. And these temptations are going to strike at all those things that are so important to us. How do we press on? And you can mention other things that could be involved in what makes this a struggle. So does Paul have some answers for this? And I raise the question because he does. We're trying to focus our thinking about it. We're going to look at what he's saying here in this passage because God, through Paul, has given us some answers to this question. How can we press on when we meet with these things in life? Number one, we can do it. We can press on with a true understanding of what's important. And we must never lose sight of that. When you read the first 11 verses of this chapter, and I encourage you to read that, we're not going over it here because of the lack of time. Paul was talking about some things that he thought were of ultimate importance, and he came to a change of thought about that. He was also talking in this chapter, at the beginning of the chapter and the end of the chapter, about some things that some other people thought and still were thinking are of ultimate importance. Things that ought to drive a person's thought and conduct. And they give way to that. And Paul clearly is saying that's wrong. Their thought about this is just wrong. It's not God's way. So here we are looking at the matter of pressing on as Christians, and what would God have us to see? We need to have a true understanding of what's really important. It's not popularity. And popularity, someone might hear that word and say, I don't have to be like a celebrity. Well, the world will tempt you to be a celebrity. It may be with a small group of people, but that's the way of the world. You know, you got these people, you're going to shine among this group of people. And they like your ways. As long as your ways are pleasing to them, they like your ways. That's just so unimportant. It has nothing to do with the things that are of ultimate and eternal value. Pleasure? I've got to have some pleasure in life. You know, like that is what life is all about, what the world leads me to think about as being pleasured. And power, again, here a person may think, well, I'm not powerful. I like obscurity, and I'm going to stay in the background. I don't have to have power. But, you know, the devil will tempt you to want to control, even if it's just a little plot of ground in your life. And people can seek that control by manipulation and by certain conditions that they imply about how they'll respond if you do this and how they will react if you don't do it. But power can be very important to a person in a little bitty world of their own making. And all that's wrong. It's just all wrong. Those things are not important, and they lead us away from Christian thought and Christian living. What's important? Paul puts it in one word. It's a name, it's a person. It's Christ. I want to know Christ, I want to gain Christ, I want to be in Christ. And that carries with it all the other things that are of ultimate and eternal importance. Paul's saying, that's to me, that's what the Christian life is. And that's day by day, that's all the time, to know Christ. And let that knowledge, that influence of Christ, guide my thought and my life. So can we press on? Yes, with a true understanding of what's really important. We've got to sort that out. Sometimes that means throwing some things out the door and getting the focus where it ought to be. So second, can we press on? Yes, we can do so with a constant and earnest effort. You know, some disciples asked Jesus one time, and it's be interesting to know what it was that prompted them to ask this question. It must have been some things they saw about people, the way they responded to Jesus, the ups and the downs, the popularity, then the fading popularity and all that. And are there few who are going to be saved? That was their question. Luke 13, beginning at verse 22. Jesus didn't answer the question the way they asked it. He spoke to them about themselves. Verse 24, strive to enter in by the narrow door. For many, I say to you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. Jesus said, strive to enter in. That's very much what Paul's talking about when he said, press on. There's no entering in without striving. There's no attaining the prize of our high calling from God in Christ Jesus without pressing on. In the Philippian letter, Paul spoke of it also in chapter 2 and verse 12 as working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's how serious it is, this pressing on in the Christian life with fear and trembling. And then look at Paul's humility in chapter 3. I don't look at my life, he says, as if I've already got my ticket punched. So I'm just kind of taking it in an easygoing style as a Christian. It's so easy to do that, isn't it? Just have an easy style in the Christian life. I've gotten in this comfortable way of moving forward. You almost hear Paul saying, wake up, Brett. Press on toward the goal. You're not going to make it if you don't press on toward this goal. So with a constant and earnest effort, with a true understanding of what's important. Number three, with maturity in the way you think. Listen to how Paul expresses that in verse 15 again. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, he doesn't mean without sin. He's talking about maturity here. You almost hear him say to Christians, it's time to put away being childish and be mature. He used language like that in writing to the Corinthians. Be thus minded. That is, think like this. And he speaks that way several times in this letter. Think like this, he says. You're not going to live like this if you don't think like this. So think in this way, all of you. He's speaking here to the whole church. They together have all got to think this way. Now that means there's a responsibility for our thoughts, our attitudes, our aims, and so forth. We are responsible for it. So we can't say to Paul or to God, to Jesus Christ, this is just the way I am. Well, change it, is what they'll say to us. That's what Paul's saying here. Here's how you must think if you're going to reach this goal. Oh, that means that I've got to have a willingness to be corrected? Sure. By whom? By those who are qualified to correct. And that means when I read Scripture, I'm reading the qualified. Because Paul was wholly qualified to speak to me and you about these things. He's empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit. No question then about it being God's Word. God and Christ and the Holy Spirit are qualified to correct us. And we're given this correction through the Word. And when some brother or sister or someone who is a friend in Christ in conversation, in addition to the Bible classes and the preaching, says something that may not even be direct, but we find that what that person has said, perhaps about something else, hits home with us because they spoke truth. They spoke as the Bible speaks. And in that moment, our minds are illuminated by the power of God's Word through what a friend had to say. Then again, it may be direct from someone who loves us. So we can have, as Paul did, this humility, can we not? I've not yet attained, I don't think of life that way as living as a Christian. I've got to make the effort. I want to keep in mind what's important. And yes, I want to change my thought and my conduct where God leads me to see I need to change that through the wisdom of His Word, through what is preached, what is taught, through the word of my brother or sister, someone who loves me. And then number four, Paul leads us to see another answer to this question. Can I press on when there's so much resistance and difficulty and temptation? Yes, we can. Notice what he says in verse 16, only whereunto we have attained by that same let us walk. Paul's talking here about a growth that we make together as Christians. So we want to look upon our fellowship in that way. We're trying to help each other move along, stay together in this by the will of God. So we're not looking back, we think, to somebody who we think is way back yonder somewhere and just spending our time criticizing him or her. No, we're reaching back and say, come on up here. Let's all get together in this. Let's all strive together on this road. We want everybody to make it to the prize. So whereunto we've attained, by the same let us walk. That's where church, fellowship of our brothers and sisters ought to be so helpful to us in pressing on toward the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is so alive, isn't it? What Paul's saying about Christian living here, it's true. It's real. And it ought to be received humbly by each one of us to guide our thoughts and our efforts. Paul's description of the Christian life here is a depiction of an endeavor, a quest in which we're engaged every day. And we can read and study this as we have this morning, and seems to me that as individuals, each one of us can see where we are in relation to what Paul is describing. Is this what I'm about? Is this what I'm doing? Is this the way I think about it? There are many voices that we will hear from the world. Some of them are well-meaning, but when what is said is evaluated, it's not really helpful. What we want to hear is that which is true to God, such as we've heard from Paul in this passage. There are many voices that speak to us to seek something that certain sources have found satisfying or pleasing to them. But it doesn't help because it's not moving us toward the goal of this prize. We can only reach that goal by pressing on day by day, day after day, today, and with resolve to do so tomorrow. But we are greatly encouraged by the fact that Paul says, and God so promises, that at the end of such an effort and a faithful way of life that thinks that way and lives that way, the prize is there. If you've not yet become a Christian, this morning you can confess your faith in Christ and be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you can start pressing on. You know what? You'll be a part of a fellowship of people who will help you, people who are trying to press on toward the goal every day. Let us stand and sing.